the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday of the Last Judgment. It's also called Meat Prayer Sunday, since we say farewell to meat until after Lent. And this past week, we also celebrated one of the 12 great feasts, which is the meeting of the Lord. And as Bishop Callistos Ware notes in the book, The Festal Menaean, this feast forms the conclusion of the Nativity sequence, which opens some 80 days earlier with the beginning of the Nativity fast. At the meeting of the Lord, as at Nativity and Theophany, the Church thinks about the kenosis, which is the deep self-emptying or pouring out of the incarnate Word. He who is the giver of the law is himself obedient to the law. So this is when Mary and Joseph brought the infant Jesus 8 days after his birth to the temple to dedicate him and make an offering on his behalf. And then Simeon received him in his arms. And so actually Simeon and Anna, the prophetess, recognized him as the Messiah, which did not please the Jewish leaders at that time. They were very upset about this. And they were also very upset with Zechariah, the high priest, father of John the Baptist, because he set Mary over to stand in the place where the virgins stood, because he could see that this was the case. And so they were also pretty upset about that. So, but nonetheless, this is when this feast, it was a great feast, when it kind of fulfills the what began at the Nativity, kind of completes at the meeting of the Lord. Well, the liturgical year begins, you know, every year in September, and it really starts for us a new spiritual journey and walking in the footsteps of the Lord. The various seasons of the fasting and the 12 major feasts and Pascha all lead us into spiritual transformation and bring us closer to Christ each year. And just as we participate spiritually in Christ's resurrection at Pascha, so we also participate in Christ's incarnation and birth at his Nativity. In other words, Christ is born, as it were, in the manger of our hearts. As Archbishop Andrew Rymarenko notes, we walked away from Christ's manger, from which we received the spirit of sonship or adoption. On the day of the Lord's baptism, we received the special grace to do God's will. And over the past several weeks, the Holy Church has been teaching us how to repent through the images of Zacchaeus, the publican and the Pharisee, and the prodigal son. And so that brings us to today's gospel, in which the Holy Church presents us with the image of the second coming of Christ and then the final judgment. And today's gospel shows what our salvation consists of, that we are called to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, take in the stranger, visit those in prison, and those who are sick. And by doing these things for those in need, the Lord tells us that we have done them unto him. And just as Christ said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So he tells us that those who are not merciful to others will receive no mercy themselves. And at this final judgment, the righteous, of course, will inherit the kingdom of heaven, while the wicked will go into everlasting punishment. Archbishop Averke points out that, you know, in mentioning these six acts of compassion, you know, to feed the hungry, to drink, give drink to the thirsty, and so forth, he mentions that faith is not included here because it is already assumed in the actions of love, which are the fruits of faith. Equally, prayer and all other labors of faith are not mentioned because without them, true love for one's neighbor is impossible. Neither are sincere, innocent works of compassion and mercy. Only works of compassion are mentioned here because they prove true faith and Christian piety. Well, this is a very important point, that unless we are practicing the labors of faith and prayers, it is not really possible to truly love our neighbor. There's an old saying, I love mankind, but I can't stand people. You know, and while this was often said in a kind of a tongue-in-cheek fashion, you know, Charles Schultz said it, and Dostoevsky said it in the novel The Brothers Karamazov, Einstein said it, you know, there's many people who have used this saying just to, as, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but there's a real truth behind this, because someone who wants to be considered a good Christian knows that, of course, they're supposed to love their brother. So they might, you know, give a donation to charity or do some kind of volunteer work. And that's fine as far as it goes. But if their motives are not really pure, if they are not doing good for the sake of Christ, but rather just for some selfish motives, maybe to be thought well of by others or to gain some material benefit, then it is not real Christian charity and will be of little value to the soul, because in a sense, you know, they're getting their reward from getting the glory that they want or getting maybe a good business deal or something because, you know, they did something good. But on the other hand, if a Christian does some kind of good deed because they are being obedient to Christ's commandments, then their soul receives great benefit. The Holy Fathers have also taught that Christ's commandments to help others are not only to be filled literally and materially, but that there is a deeper spiritual meaning that also must be fulfilled, since man has an immortal soul and spirit as well as a physical body. St. Theophylact instructs us to be compassionate and to practice almsgiving, both tangible and spiritual. If you give food and drink to him who hungers and thirsts for teaching, you have given food and drink to Christ. If you should see someone who has become a stranger to his heavenly fatherland, take him in with you. While you yourself are entering into the heavens, lead him in as well. If a man should cast off the garment of incorruption which he had at his baptism so that he is naked, clothe him. And if one should be infirm in faith, help him, and visit him who is shut up in the dark prison of this body, and give counsel, which is as a light to him. Perform, then, all these six types of love, both bodily and also spiritually, for we consist of both soul and body, and these acts of love are to be accomplished by both. Well, brothers and sisters, we may not be great experts and have advanced theological degrees and so on, but this is really not necessary. We can actually accomplish this spiritual acts of compassion and charity by praying for others, and we can encourage other people as needed. We can invite people to come to church with us. If we don't have all the answers to their questions, we can direct them to someone who does, or we can show them the writings of the Holy Fathers. Most importantly, the more we ourselves practice our faith, do our best to fast and pray and do good deeds and confess our sins and receive Holy Communion, we will serve as living witnesses of Christ and bearers of the Holy Spirit. O most merciful Lord, help us to fulfill your holy commandments to love our brothers and sisters by helping them in whatever way that we can, that we may one day be counted worthy to enter into your heavenly kingdom. Glory be to our God.